This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with verses 146 to 148 of chapter Ali Imran from the Holy Quran, recited by Ali Parisgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa ka'ayyim min nabiyyin qatala ma'ahu ربيون كثير فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا إسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا حسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. And how many a prophet has fought with whom were many worshippers of the Lord? So they did not become weak-hearted on account of what befell them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken, nor did they abase themselves. And Allah loves the patient. And their saying was no other than that they said, Our Lord, forgive us our faults and our extravagance in our affair, and make firm our feet and help us against the unbelieving people. So Allah gave them the reward of this world and better reward of the hereafter. And Allah loves those who do good to others.
This This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran says the ball is in the U.S.'s court as it announces high-level indirect negotiations with Washington on Saturday, rejecting Donald Trump's claim about direct talks. China says it will fight to the end in response to the U.S. president's threat of an additional 50% tariff on Chinese imports. And Israel's continued strikes on Gaza kill more Palestinians amid fresh warnings about the deteriorating humanitarian crisis in the besieged territory. Let's go ahead and get started with the stories that matter. The Iranian foreign minister has rejected U.S. President Donald Trump's claim that Tehran and Washington will hold direct talks on Iran's nuclear program. Trump made the claim on the sidelines of his meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Washington. In response, Abbas Araghchi reaffirmed in a social media post that the Saturday meeting between Iran and the United States in Oman will be high-level but indirect. He added that negotiations in Oman will be both an opportunity and a test, concluding that the ball is now in America's court. His remarks came after earlier on Monday, Iran's President Masoud Pezeshkian said Tehran favors negotiations, but not at any cost. He added that the United States needs to prove that it truly intends to negotiate, noting that the U.S. cannot threaten Iran every day while calling for negotiations. Pezeshkian stressed that the Islamic Republic will not submit to any humiliation.
At an emergency meeting with Israeli Premier Benjamin Netanyahu, United States President Donald Trump shockingly claimed that Washington is about to hold direct talks with Tehran for the first time since 2018. Trump did not provide additional details, and just last week, only indirect talks were approved by Tehran.
We're having direct talks with Iran, and they've started. It'll go on Saturday. We have a very big meeting, and we'll see what can happen. And I think everybody agrees that doing a deal would be preferable to doing the obvious. And the obvious is not something that I want to be involved with.
That came after Trump openly threatened to bomb Iran, which was dismissed as not very probable by Iran leader Ayatollah Sayed Ali Khamenei. Trump is infamous for exaggerations, bluster, and untrustworthiness, as in his first term he failed to honor the 2015 JCPOA agreement on Iran's nuclear energy program. Trump's remarks seem to chagrin a scandal-ridden Netanyahu, who is repeatedly accused of trying to push Trump to expand the Israeli-U.S. genocide in Gaza into a disastrous all-out regional war.
To be manipulated, to allow or participate in a war on Iran and destabilize the entire region. So we are hopeful that we can continue to push him because he himself expressed the desire and hope that he will be the president of peace. So on those bases, we urged him to hold Benjamin Netanyahu accountable, not to appease him, and not to give him everything he wants.
With his predecessor, Joe Biden, launching war in Ukraine and immediately joining the Israeli genocide in Gaza, many believed Trump's campaign promises to avoid more endless, unwinnable wars.
President Trump has the opportunity to establish peace in the region that is based on justice and not further any escalation or start any wars. He told the world that he wants to end wars. He doesn't want to start ones. So he can do that. He has the ability. and I hope that he has the will. If he does otherwise, he will just destroy his own legacy by his own hands.
Tehran continues to stress that it approves of bilateral relations on, quote, equal footing, that it seeks peaceful relations and peaceful resolutions to current conflicts, and complained to the United Nations Security Council about Trump's, quote, reckless and belligerent and illegal threats. Ramin Mazahiri, Washington, D.C.
We were earlier joined by political analyst Ken Stone to get his views on the negotiations between Tehran and Washington and Trump's approach to Iran.
I think that the U.S. approach to Iran and to most countries of the world, in fact, is reckless and dangerous and illegal. The U.S. is trying to use a campaign of maximum pressure on Iran, which it has been using ever since Trump's first administration, to try and force the Iranian government to do things that are that are flagrantly illegal. For example, even to threaten another country with the use of military force is a violation of the UN Charter, Article 2. But the U.S. goes way beyond that. They have put sanctions, illegal sanctions on Iran, which are unilateral and do not have the blessing of the United Nations Security Council. It makes those sanctions illegal. So what the U.S. is doing under Trump is demanding that Iran come to the negotiating table and negotiate with the U.S. while the U.S. is conducting an economic war against Iran, and furthermore is threatening Iran with destruction.
While China has vowed retaliation against the U.S. in response to President Donald Trump's threat of additional tariffs, Chinese Ministry of Commerce said it would fight to the end following Trump's threat of an additional 50% tariff on Chinese imports. It also condemned Trump's tariffs as unilateral bullying. Beijing has emphasized that the countermeasures taken are aimed at protecting its sovereignty and security while maintaining the normal international trade order. The remarks come as Trump's sweeping tariffs have shaken markets globally, with many major indices experiencing the sharpest decline in years. Well, now joining us for more on this story from Beijing is Mr. Jinu Xu, political analyst. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Xu, for joining us. I do want to start off with the latest development. The Chinese Ministry of Commerce said that it would fight to the end. Now, does this mean additional tariffs, or are we entering a new phase of the sustained conflict between China and the U.S.?
Well, I think from the Chinese point of view, first of all, China does not have any intention to have an economic warfare with Washington. For every country that is truly sovereign, that is truly independent, you have to defend your own sovereignty. You defend your interests by legitimate means, because that's what you need to do for your people, for your nation, statehood. And we know that Trump launched a sweeping economic war basically with every country in the world. This is illegitimate, this is illegal under the WTO rules. This is a disdain of the existing trading rules every country, every economy respects. So facing such a situation, what do we need to do? There are, of course, the individual countries, the smaller economies mostly, they would try to find some room to maneuver, ask for probably forgiveness or surrender to Washington. That's fine, I guess. But for big economies, big nations, they have a reputation, they have an international image to maintain, and also they have, respect. Mutual respect is a basic and fundamental principle, together with equality, or equal footing to deal with each other. These are important international principles. We have to defend these principles for the interests not only of an individual country like China, but also every country. And secondly, you know, with such a flagrant practice of launching economic war against other countries, and I think China, in a sense, is defending the international rules that is, you know, every country, every economy agrees upon. For example, the tariffs a country imposes on imported stuff, that's agreed upon based on individual bilateral agreement, based on trilateral or regional agreement under this multilateral trading system. That they are, however high or low, they are legitimate. They should be respected. If you have a problem, such as Washington, said they have, you need to talk to like your trading partners to solve such a problem, to express your concern and find a way to solve the problem, a legitimate way under the international trading system. So far, obviously, Washington is not doing that. They are bullying basically every economy, every country. They are threatening with more tariffs on the goods from other countries. So this is a practice of a unilateral and imperial bullying of other countries. I think that's unacceptable for a lot of countries, including China. So I think China is resolute, saying that we have to defend our interests. If there are more tariffs upon the Chinese good, we will take appropriate measures to do our basically turn, our round, to protect our interests.
Yes, well, I'd like to thank you very much. Their political analyst joining us from Beijing, Mr. Jinu Xu, a pleasure to have you with us. Well, the Israeli regime presses ahead with its genocidal onslaught against the Gaza Strip, killing more civilians in the devastated Palestinian territory. In the latest developments, an early morning attack targeting a house killed at least six Palestinians and injured several others in Beit Lahia, northern Gaza. Over a dozen Palestinians were also killed and many more wounded in similar attacks on residential buildings in central Gaza. Other parts of the Palestinian territory, including Rafah, were also targeted by multiple air and artillery attacks, causing dozens of fatalities. Also, a journalist succumbed to the wounds sustained in a Monday attack on a camp of media workers in the southern city of Khan Yunis. The attack left another journalist killed and a number of others wounded. The total death toll since October 2023 now stands at over 50,750, with nearly 115,480 others injured. The heads of six UN agencies have issued a grave warning on the situation in Gaza. They called for the immediate resumption of the ceasefire in the territory amid a deepening humanitarian crisis. The agencies warned of severe aid shortages and hunger since Israel resumed its all-out aggression on March the 18th. They said for over a month, no commercial or humanitarian supplies have entered Gaza after Israel blocked the entry of aid trucks. The agencies noted that more than 2.1 million people are trapped, bombed, and starved again, while food, medicine, fuel, and other supplies are piling up behind Gaza's closed crossings. The agencies added that at least 1,000 children were killed or injured during the first week after the Israeli genocide resumed, which is the highest one-week children death toll in the past year. Describing the humanitarian situation as unprecedented, the UN agency said the territory is witnessing acts of war in Gaza that show an utter disregard for human life. Thousands of protesters have taken to the streets of Tel Aviv in a new anti-regime protest as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with his U.S. President Donald Trump in Washington. The protesters slammed Netanyahu's policies, including his move to oust the regime's top security and legal officials. They also condemned the resumption of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Families of Israeli captives held in Gaza also joined the protests, urging an end to the war and a deal to ensure the release of the captives. The mass protests followed a weekly demonstration on Saturday in which protesters called on the regime's cabinet to put the captives above all interests. They also urged the regime to stop violating the Gaza ceasefire deal with Hamas. The movement says it will only release the remaining captives in exchange for the release of more Palestinian prisoners, a permanent ceasefire, and Israel's complete pullout from Gaza. While Israel keeps pounding southern Lebanon, killing and injuring more civilians despite a ceasefire agreement with the Arab country, Lebanon's health ministry said three people were killed and two others injured following the Israeli regime strikes on Monday. According to the ministry statement, one civilian was killed in the town of Taibe near the border. Israeli military claims it targeted a Hezbollah artillery commander in the town. Also, an Israeli drone strike on Dardara Road killed two Syrians. The ministry said two others were injured in the strikes on the south. Please stay tuned for more updates. Goodbye.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O patron of
the limelight.
The cold-blooded killing of 15 Red Crescent and Civil Defense first responders has elicited no condemnation from major world powers. This is the age of lawlessness. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Middle East, I wrote, it is difficult to be shocked after 18 months of the Zionist regime's genocidal onslaught on Gaza. Brazen crimes against humanity have become the norm. World powers do nothing in response. At best, they put out weak statements of concern. Now, the United States regime does not even bother with that. It is fully on board with the war crimes of starvation and depopulation being inflicted on 2 million Palestinians. The Zionist regime and the United States are planning the violent ethnic cleansing of Gaza, knowing full well that no one will stop them. The International Court of Justice, ICJ, and the International Criminal Court, ICC, are sitting on their hands despite what appeared to be significant rulings last year on Israeli war crimes by the ICC and on the risk of genocide by the ICJ. Israeli anti-Zionist commentator Alon Mizrahi posted on X this week, and Israel and the United States announce and begin to enact plans to ethnically cleanse Gaza of Palestinians. Let's remember that the International Court of Justice has not even convened to discuss the genocide since May 24, 2024, was using very blurry language about the planned Rafah action. Tens of thousands have been exterminated since then, and hundreds of thousands have been injured. Babies are starved and froze to death, and thousands of children lost limbs. Not a word from the ICJ. Zionism and American imperialism have rendered international law null and void. Everyone is allowed to do as they please to anyone. The post-Second World War masquerade is truly over. Under the U.S. Joe Biden administration, Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the smirking U.S. spokesperson Matt Miller would make performative statements about concern over the killing of Palestinians with weapons they had supplied. They would never use a word as clear as killing, always preferring the perpetrator-free deaths. Today, under the Donald Trump regime, even the mask of respect for rituals of international diplomacy has been thrown aside. This is the law of the jungle, and the winners are the governments that use a superior force to seize what they believe is theirs and to silence and destroy those who stand in their way. Last week, a group of Palestine Red Crescent Society, PRCS, civil defense and UN staff rushed to the site of Israeli regime airstrikes to rescue wounded Palestinians in southern Gaza. PRCS is the local branch of the International Committee of the Red Cross, which, like the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, provides essential health services to Palestinians in a devastated besieged war zone. Alongside other international aid groups, they have been repeatedly and brutally targeted by the Zionist regime. That pattern continued on March 23rd when Israeli regime forces committed a heinous, deliberate massacre that left 8 PRCS members, 6 members of Gaza Civil Defense, and 1 UN agency employee dead. The bodies of 14 first responders were found in Rafah, southern Gaza, a week after they were killed. The vehicles were mangled and the bodies dumped in a mass grave. Some were mutilated, one decapitated. The Palestinian Health Ministry said some of the bodies were found with their hands tied and with wounds to their heads and chests. This grave was located just meters from their vehicles, indicating the Israeli occupation forces removed the victims from the vehicles, executed them, and then discarded their bodies in the pit, civil defense spokesperson Mahmoud Massal said, describing it as one of the most brutal massacres Gaza has witnessed in modern history. The head of the UN Humanitarian Affairs Office in Gaza, Jonathan Whittle, said, "Today, on the first day of aid, we returned and recovered the buried bodies of 8 PRCS, 6 civil defense, and 1 UN staff. They were killed in their uniforms, driving their clearly marked vehicles, wearing their gloves, on their way to save lives. This should never have happened. Nothing happened following previous lethal attacks, such as the killing of 7 World Central Kitchen staff on April 1, 2024, exactly 1 year ago, when the victims were British, Polish, Australian, Palestinian, and dual U.S.-Canadian citizen. Despite a certain uproar that was absent when dozens or hundreds of Palestinians were massacred, the Israeli regime was not sanctioned by Western powers or the United Nations. And so, it continued killing aid workers. Israel declared UNRWA a terror group last October and has killed more than 280 of its staff, accounting for the majority of the 408 workers killed in Gaza since October 2023. The international response to this latest massacre? Zilch. Recently, Save the Children, Medical Aid for Palestinians and Christian Aid took out ads in the UK Observer calling for the UK government to stop supplying arms to Israel in the wake of renewed Israeli regime attacks in Gaza. David Lammy, Keir Starmer, your failure to act is costing lives. The British Prime Minister is too busy touting his mass deportation of illegal migrants from the UK to comment on the atrocities of his close ally, the Israeli regime. He has said nothing in the public. Lammy, UK Foreign Secretary, has found time to put out a statement on the Myanmar earthquake, NATO, Ukraine, and the need for de-escalation of renewed tensions in South Sudan. His last public comment on the Israeli regime and the Gaza was on March 22nd. Several days after Israel's horrific massacre of more than 400 Palestinians at dawn on March 8, saying the resumption of Israeli strikes in Gaza marks a dramatic step backward. Alongside France and Germany, the UK urgently calls for a return to the ceasefire. No condemnation of the slaughter of nearly 200 children. In response to a request for comment from Middle East Eye, a Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office spokesperson said, "We are outraged by these deaths and we expect the incident to be investigated transparently and for those responsible held to account. Humanitarian workers must be protected and medical and aid workers must be able to do their jobs safely. We continue to call for a lift on the aid blockade in Gaza and for all parties to re-engage in ceasefire negotiations to get the hostages out and to secure a permanent end to the conflict, leading to a two-state solution and a lasting peace." As this article was being written, Lammy put out a statement on X that, as usual, avoided any direct mention of who was committing war crimes. "Gaza remains the deadliest place for humanitarians. With over 400 killed, recent aid worker deaths are a stark reminder. Those responsible must be held accountable." The New World Order of 2025 is a lawless one. The big powers and their allies are committed to the violent reordering of the map. Palestine is to be forcibly absorbed into Israel, with United States backing. Ukraine will lose its eastern regions with U.S. support. smaller nations can be attacked with impunity. From Yemen to Lebanon to Greenland. No U.S. invasion plan as yet, but the mood music is growing louder with every statement from Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. This has always been the way to some extent. Still, previously, in the post-war world, adherence to international law was the official position of great powers, including the United States. The Zionist regime, however, never had time for international law. It was the pioneer of the force is right doctrine. That doctrine is now the dominant one. International law and international aid are out. In the UK, recently a group of youth activists were meeting at the Quaker Friends House in central London to discuss peaceful resistance to the genocide in Gaza. Police stormed the building and arrested six young women. Such a police action would have been unthinkable a few years ago, but new laws introduced under the last government have made such raids against peaceful gatherings increasingly common. This is the age of lawlessness, and anyone standing up for human rights and peace is now the enemy of the state, whether in Palestine, London, or at Columbia University.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
From Sana'a. Welcome to your window into the latest developments out of Sana'a, Yemen. I am Yusuf Mari. And in this program, we will be discussing all of the latest events unfolding in the country, from the U.S. airstrikes that has lasted for 4 weeks to Yemen's retaliatory attacks targeting USS Harry Truman aircraft carrier in the Red Sea, along with other U.S. military manifestations, including warships and also supply ships. Also, the Yemeni army has also targeted military sites in occupied Palestine. We will be discussing this and much more. Joining me today is Dr. Ali Muhammad Al-Sabri. He is a professor at the Sana'a University, and he is also a political expert. Doctor, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I'd like to start by first asking you, you know, it's been 4 weeks since Trump launched this military campaign. His declared goals were to decimate who he calls the Houthi military capability. Has he achieved any of the goals that he first declared at the beginning of these military operations?
No, nothing has been achieved because Trump has, of course, announced something ambiguous, and that is not clear to the people, the aim that he is fighting the Yemeni citizens. Now, what we see just in various areas and governorates, and the air raids by the U.S. air jets, that they are just affecting the situation of the Yemenis. So even the embargo or the siege or the blockade, it's not against any party in the country. It is against the citizens. It is the civilians of this country. So the goal that he wants to, as maybe called that, to affect the Houthis, we haven't seen anything in that, because the Houthis who called, they are part of the country. They are also citizens. And the capabilities that he is wishing to get, he will not get anything. Why? Because the Ansarillah and the Houthis, they are in support for the Palestinian people in Gaza Strip and all Palestine. So Trump has claimed earlier that he would be a peaceful man, he would spread peace, and he does not like wars. So now he's lying again. He changed everything. He starts now with the customs tariffs, so he creating wars throughout the world for nothing. So it's not only Yemen. Now the Yemenis, they are so resilient and they are steadfast against any aggression, and they are with the Palestinians. They are supporting those innocent women and children in Palestine. So why the United States is just supporting Israel? And it has now recently sent the THAAD and the Patriot, also defense equipment for Israel. And they do not see that the Palestinians without food, without electricity, without water. So they're creating starvation in Gaza. And he's supporting those killers and murderers. And in Yemen, he's doing the same, because the Yemenis are also civilians and they do not go to the United States to fight it. Nobody is fighting any country. This is a peaceful country. We are calling for peace. And we support our brethren because we have one religion. And we have, it is a feeling of like a humanity. This is a humanitarian feeling. So they cut the humanitarian aid and they stopped even the ceasefire in Palestine. And they resumed now the fighting for almost now a month and so. And in Yemen, they are losing everything, because their reputation is nothing. They are fighting a country which is so far, it's not affecting or making any dangers or risks to the United States. And this is again what we see in this country, that we have the heroes of the Yemeni armed forces. They are clashing in the sea, in the Red Sea, and because it's not only America. They claimed and they announced from the beginning that they are fighting and making the stop for the vessels that go to Israel, because they want to participate with their brothers in Palestine, at least to say what we have to do to prevent the goods and also whatever they have through the sea to Israel and to the occupied land. Now, this is the Yemeni at least now slogan, and this is what we want to do to defend the Yemenis and to defend the Palestinians, because we are in one boat. So the other Arab countries these days, all right, we have some Arab countries now, they make demonstrations. Algeria now showed also demonstrations in the streets. Libya has also demonstrations. Also in Jordan and different Arab countries, even in Mauritania. So the Arab people, they are feeling that this war is against them all, because it's against Islam. Oh, they want to get rid of all the Islam, not only from Palestine, but from the Arab world and the Islam countries.
Of course they know, especially in recent years, I think it's become very clear that out of the Muslim world, they know that Israel, that the Israeli regime is hell-bent on destroying their countries.
Yes.
I think people know that, and I think not just Muslims know this. I think even the larger Western audience, they know who the good side and the bad side in this conflict. One side is committing genocide, the other side is trying to stop the genocide from happening. I think the large portion or the majority of the world, they know who's on the righteous side and who's trying to spread chaos and massacre.
Yes,
they know, but the reason why I bring this up is because I don't think it's just enough to have international condemnation. You mentioned the protests that are taking place worldwide. today and in the next couple of days, there's going to be protests staged across the world. But we have to be honest and say that these protests haven't really achieved the main goal of bringing an end to the genocide or stopping Israel dead in its tracks, which is why Yemen plays such a pivotal role, because it's not just the protests that are taking place in Yemen. It's not just the condemnations that are coming from Yemeni leaders. It's the actual military activities, military escalations, military preparations, military attacks that Yemen is determined and committed to in order to bring an end to the genocide taking place in Palestine.
Yes. You see, the Yemen stance is with the Palestinians. It's a supportive stance. That means what we are watching every day in Palestine, now since 18 months, it's 1.5 years, killing the Palestinians in every day. That's on a daily basis, with the aircrafts, with the drones, bombardment, and with the demolition to the houses, destruction, and the streets, and everything. So they make this life there as a miserable life. And there was an agreement, and the mediators that they have reached with the Hamas movement, that there will be, of course, phases. So for 42 days, until some of the Israelis who were the prisoners were released, and then waiting for the second phase. But Netanyahu rejected everything, and he is going with the plan of Trump, because Trump wants to get money from anywhere, because he wanted to buy Gaza. He wanted to make skyscrapers in Gaza. He created a new world over there, and he will expel all the Palestinians for nothing. Now, what is he doing now? He finds another problem for the world. The problem is now is the customs tariff. Customs tariff not only for, you see, one country. It's for all countries. For all countries. Now, the French country and even those who they are against the United States. Now, he wanted in that to gain money. So Trump is a trader. He is, a state, as we know from the beginning, that he wanted to make money out of everything, not even to make any interest for the people. His own people in the United States are demonstrating against his plans.
And he's losing money. You mentioned that Trump, he prides himself on making money, bringing in money. Now he's losing money with the war on Yemen. According to U.S. officials and U.S. reports, the military campaign on Yemen has cost the U.S. over $1 billion.
Let me tell you one thing, Mr. Yusuf Fadak. Now, he depends now on the visit to the Gulf countries and to Saudi Arabia, because he wanted to say that he defended them. So he's going to take the money from them. He's a trader. He's, as they say, a real estate contractor, and he is trying to find money from any place. Now he will suck with China. China, they are clever people. They are very peaceful people. And now he imposed on them about 64% for this custom tariff. China rejected that, and they also responded in 35% in the customs tariff to the China. Now, what he wanted to do to create jobs in the United States and to find the factories that has been already lost, and he wanted to make new competition for the United States. So this man is lost. He doesn't have anything in his mind. He is just in a marriage with Netanyahu, and both people, they are criminals. They do not have any plan for any constructive planning in the world. They don't need anything to say, even the kid. When he looks at those people, they're crazy people. Look what he did to the Ukrainian president, as they were giving billions to him to fight Russia. And at the end, he humiliated him at his office in the White House. So this is this man.
So you're saying it's a reckless.
He's losing values. He doesn't have values and respect to himself and to the others.
So from what you're saying is, the Trump administration is acting recklessly without actually getting the right advice.
Yes.
Because when you take into consideration the war that they launched on Yemen, let's talk about what they've targeted so far. We've seen them target cotton fields, cotton factories, steel
we'll
factories.
Yes.
They're targeting power transmission towers.
Yes.
They're targeting energy sources. They're targeting the port of Hodeida. They're even targeting solar panels. What does this tell you about, does Trump know what he's doing in Yemen, or is he just enacting upon an Israeli policy to spread chaos and destruction across the Muslim world?
Exactly. This is what we can see. And the destruction of a health center in Washha, that is in Hajja area.
Right.
What is the purpose of destroying just a health center for the rural areas? And if those people are having this, as we say, long-range missiles, what do they have? He's saying that he will destroy the capabilities of the Houthis. So what did he find in that health center and in this telecommunications towers and in all the other services that he wanted to do the people to be deprived from these services as the Palestinians? So they have the same plan. It is the plan of Netanyahu and Trump. Why? Because they studied in one school, the school of Zionism. And Zionism hates Islam. And they want to destroy everything, every part, every single item in the Islamic countries. And with them now, even the British Prime Minister, Sama, he said that he wanted to root out the Muslims. They do not want to have a state in Palestine. They are afraid of it because they will be affected. What is it going to do? It's just a small state and to live with the Israelis. And now they rejected everything. And the West Bank, they destroyed it. They destroyed Gaza. That means they are rejecting the whole international laws and even the United Nations. What is the United Nations, my friend? Where is it? What does it do? And it was established in 1945, the last century. And it is because of this wars. Now they have lost everything. They want to destroy everything. So they are crazy people. When they even employed Elon Musk. Now you see Elon Musk. What is that guy is doing over there? People there criticizing him. They want to stop everything. So it is now the time of crazy men.
Yeah, it's ironic that you mentioned that, especially with Trump. He posted a video on social media the other day,
yes,
which showed a U.S. fighter jet attacking a tribal gathering here in Yemen. As you know, maybe you can shed some light to our audience about tribal gatherings where,
yes,
they celebrate occasions like Eid al-Fitr, celebrate Eid al-Adha,
okay,
they celebrate tribal disputes, and they usually get together in this public open place arena, and they form a circle, a large circle,
yes,
consisting of,
yes,
100, 200 tribesmen, to celebrate the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. Trump, he waged an attack against such an occasion where they were meeting tribesmen, hundreds of tribesmen were meeting, and they were ushering Eid al-Fitr. And he took the video and he posted it on social media, and he's saying that he attacked Houthi militants as they were preparing and planning attacks on the U.S.
No, this is a false. This is not, any logic in that. This man, he wanted to find excuses and these allegations. What we used in Yemen to have these circles of the tribes for this, anniversaries of the Yemenis and the holy occasions, religious occasions for Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr or any other occasion. So they get together, and even if they have a wedding party, they can make such circles. So it is not in a way that they are, fighters, or they are preparing to hit the United States or to make any kind of battles in that area. But it is because misunderstanding of the people here in Yemen. He doesn't understand, and he wanted only to find an excuse and also to find an answer to what is doing and what kind of crimes he's committing. Now, those people in Yemen, they are not taking care of all of this because they know that they are very hatred people. And they know the Israelis, they know the Americans, and these leaderships. They, as I told you, they have very bad intention against the Islamic general. Look now what they're doing against our brothers in Iran. It's the same story. They now what they are doing, they are sending to the Red Sea now a new and the biggest aircraft carrier, who is called Gerald Ford. And with this now, war vessels. And they said if there will be any potential war in the area against Iran. So they find excuses. They don't have any plan. They come to a place and they find allegations and this pretext to show that they are fighting criminals. No, he's the criminal himself. And this is what Sayyid Abdul Malik, the revolution leader, he said, he's the criminal because they wanted to fight civilians and very ordinary people. And we are here to be with the Palestinians. So all the demonstrations, what we have been watching in Sana'a and various governorates, it is a supportive stance for our brothers. And if we look on these daily killings and mass killings to the Palestinians, extermination in every place, what do they want from the Palestinians? They do just to exterminate them and to root them out from their country and to take the Palestinian land. As you know, it's not really strange from the United States. How was it built, this state? It was built on the Red Indians' rights.
Exactly.
And they have taken their land and they killed them. And now they are nothing over there. And they want to do the same story in everywhere.
And so
they are criminals.
It seems that the only language that they respect or understand is power, which is why they haven't waged an attack against North Korea, against Russia. Any country that has power, the U.S. and Israel, they stay away from them. They don't want to get into war with them. With Yemen, not necessarily that Yemen has the advanced missile and weapon capability that Russia or North Korea has, but with that, the U.S. and Israel, they still attack Yemen, but they're not achieving any of their goals. I think at the beginning of these military operations, the U.S. was surprised that they found that the Yemeni people would not back away from their commitment to the Palestinian cause. Because Trump, he was talking big talk in the beginning. He was saying that all hell is going to rain down upon them. They will be hit like they've never, you know how Trump talks.
Yes.
They will be hit like they've never been hit before.
Yes. Yes.
And, he sent in the fighter jets, the aircraft carriers, and he was at that time expecting that the Ansar Allah movement, the Yemeni army, would be intimidated. But what he found instead was missiles and drones targeting the USS Harry Truman after they waged a surprise attack on Yemen 4 weeks ago. Why is it that Yemen is the only nation that is fighting the U.S. and Israel militarily, even though, of course, you have Iran that's doing its part? If Iran gets into a war, it could very well lead to World War III.
Yes, yes.
But with that said, why is Yemen the only country acting actively militarily?
You see, Yemen, and it is stand, it is a very humane country. They feel about the Palestinians, and they always see these crimes and massacres and genocides. They cannot really feel it, and they will not stand it, because we are human beings, and we have dignity, and this dignity is not available in other places. So that's why the only country in the world, and it is by the admission. So many people admit that Yemen is a unique country in its way, in its behavior, in its leadership. It's different. And we have the feeling to collaborate with our brothers, because those killers, they may kill every child, every woman, every person, and they may claim the right to them that they are criminals, that they are terrorists. Who is the terrorist? Who created terrorism in the world now? It is the United States and Israel, and they cannot be accepted. If you look at the situation now in Syria, in Lebanon, it is the same. They are killing them, and every day now the Israeli jet fighters hit the Palestinians, the Lebanese, and the Syrians. for doing nothing. So it's not only Yemen. It's a big story here.
What do you think is going to happen in the near future with this war unfolding in Yemen and with the genocide continuing in Palestine? This is an important question I want to ask you. Because in his last speech, Sayyid Abdelmalek Badreddin al-Houthi, he mentioned, he sent a warning to neighboring countries. He sent a warning to Arab regimes and nations in Africa to not help the U.S. or Israel in its military campaign on Yemen.
Yes.
And he issued a warning that if they do engage, whether it's providing logistical support, intelligence support, military support to Israel or the U.S. in their war against Yemen, then there will be repercussions and consequences from Yemen to whichever state is helping these nations. So what do you think that's going to look like in the future? Do you think that right now we are on the precipice of attacking one of these neighboring countries that's helping the U.S. carry out attacks against innocent Yemenis?
I think it's fairly clear now, after the warning of Sayyid Abdelmalek Badreddin al-Houthi, the revolution leader, he said, don't interfere. Leave us alone to fight the United States. Don't put your fingers in this. That is just the warning. That means, as we all know, that those coalition that they call themselves, they have been fighting Yemen for 10 years. And they were the, of course, the guys of the United States. And it was hidden. Now we are fighting face to face the United States. So the leader of the revolution told them, leave us alone. We know now, as you were the agents, but now we are with the real criminal. Let's fight with them. Leave us alone. Because don't try to show that you are our brothers. No. Because we know that they do not have any kind of attention or any kind
but
of
mercy. Do you think that Yemen will attack one of these countries, if, for example, Saudi Arabia or the UAE?
It is a warning now. That but they know his words. If he said a word, he kept his promise. That means, listen,
they
we have
know that
done,
very well,
we,
yeah.
Yeah, we have done with it, you know, previous times. So it's to them, okay, now try to remind them. If you make anything, we will, we know. We know what we are going to do.
Do you think that's perhaps not
even, as they call it, glass towers in the Emirates?
But Trump, he's asking for money from these countries. So do you think that Trump wants Ansar Allah to attack the UAE or Saudi Arabia so that way they can...
He doesn't want Ansar Allah to shoot over there now. He is just giving them as a fear, as a scary thing. So he will say, okay, if you do not pay us now for the protection that we protect you, you may get trouble. That is how he's exploiting the situation. So he's always like that. He exploits the Gulf countries and Saudi Arabia because now his budget needs that money.
Well, Trump wants money from the from these Persian Gulf states and you know, making the illusion that they have to pay money if they want to stay safe. I think they've come to the realization that they are actually in more danger if they pay the U.S. instead of just, you know, being good neighbors with Yemen and avoiding a war with Yemen, because that has proven to be to their detriment in previous wars. Thank you. That's all. I want to continue this conversation with you. That's all the time that we have for today with Dr. Ali Muhammad Al-Sabri, political expert and a professor at Sana'a University. Thank you for joining us today. And please be sure to join us next week as we keep you informed on all of the latest events and developments happening in Yemen. Until then, stay informed and please stay safe.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints with me, Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Zain. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sayyid Zain, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
The concept of truth, al-haq, wal-batil, falsehood, from the perspective of the Quran. Nowadays, distinguishing between right and wrong becomes very much difficult. I mean, it is difficult. So who is right, who is wrong, okay? Even in the Muslim communities, we could see that there are some disagreements. Even we could see that, for example, the innocent children of the Palestine are not backed and supported by the Muslim kings all around the world, okay? So it seems that religion and religious teachings are not the mere criteria. And ethics and morality are also at work. So how to distinguish and how not to get into the trap of the so-called ethical developments of the Western secular world? Because on that time in the secular world, some ethical moral values are also overemphasized. How to distinguish between these two, Shaykh?
Look at the very beautiful sermon of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam when he signed the peace agreement with Muawiyah. Muawiyah told the people that Hassan did not find himself deserved to be Khalifa, and he found me and Muawiyah to be Khalifa. And then Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam made a very beautiful sermon. I want to suggest
very good
to the brethren.